WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Lindsay Watts. Candid and productive. That's how Secretary of State Antony Blinken describes today's 35-minute meeting with China's President Xi.
The U.S. frustrated by China's role in the fentanyl crisis, the war in Ukraine, and cyber espionage, while China accusing the U.S. of trying to, quote, contain its rise, both militarily and economically. And even this Beijing trip was supposed to happen back in February before being postponed after a Chinese spy balloon showed up in U.S. airspace.
ABC's Matt Rivers in Beijing. President Biden is on his way to California, where he's expected to announce more than $500 million in projects to prevent climate change. Millions are on alert for severe weather, including many who are cleaning up after tornadoes tore through Mississippi. At least one person is dead. A search and rescue mission is underway off the coast of Newfoundland for a submersible that went missing. The vessel is used to carry tourists to view the wreck of the Titanic. This is ABC News. A weekend shooting in central Pennsylvania leaves one state trooper dead and another critically injured. It happened during a standoff with a suspect who was later fatally shot. The fallen trooper has been identified as 29-year-old Jacques Rougeau. Police in San Francisco say several people were wounded when gunmen in separate cars fired at each other along the city's popular waterfront in a targeted incident. Police Chief Bill Scott.
Three were injured from glass shards from errant gunfire. Two people, as they were walking their bikes across the street, were struck. One of those young girls was struck. And then we had two gunshot victims.
So far, there are no arrests. A stunning victory at the U.S. Open. Underdog Wyndham Clark taking the title. Before this win, the 29-year-old won just one previous PGA Tour event.
This is now my second win on the PGA Tour. And first one was surreal, and this one's surreal.
Lindsay Watts, ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know in Northeast Wisconsin. A Green Bay police officer faced criminal charges in court on Friday. Officer Matthew Knudsen was charged last month for misconduct and negligent operation of a vehicle. According to WBAY News, Knudsen used his car to knock down a man he was chasing in November of 2021. Knudsen's attorney filed a motion to dismiss the charges. A decision on the motion is expected in early July. The Fond du Lac police are thanking the community for assisting in the arrest of a prowler early Sunday morning. Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles has more.
According to a department release, officers responded to the 200 block of Bischoff Avenue shortly after midnight. The man was trying to enter a home and is suspected of other similar incidents over the past couple of months. Police say the 46-year-old suspect was identified and arrested, thanks in part to tips and videos from community members. The investigation is ongoing.
Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today. 855-954-1186.
All in two wins. Gingras Thompson & Wachs. GTWLawyers.com.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with our producer today, Mr. Evan Preston. It is Monday, June 19th, 2023. Glad to have you along with us on a start of the work week. Probably nobody going back to school at this point, unless maybe summer school. I'm not sure. But a beautiful week nonetheless. Mr. Preston, we enjoy and appreciate having you with us. How was your weekend, sir?
I enjoy and appreciate being here with you. I'm well. Good, it's a wonderful good. Father's Day.
Really? Spend time with the folks, or what do you do?
That's right. No, that's exactly right, man. It was nice right. And easy. A little hot today.
I called my dad, and happy Father's Day to him up in Shawano, to Jim up there. But I called dad, talked with him. I stayed in Madison because I am moving this week, moving to a different apartment, and so it was packing weekend for Todd. So that's why I've been up to my, and I was packing some glassware, and it's one of those things where you have no idea how you do it. You're packing, you're taking glasses out of the shelf to wrap them up or whatever, and I thought it was like one of those times when I thought I was dropping it, but it just felt like it, and so I kind of like bobbled it and went to catch it. And I ended up smashing the glass on my countertop, and the top of it went into my hand. Not a major cut, but just one of those that like it won't stop bleeding.
And so had more fun than you're allowed this weekend. It's official.
It was not fun, but it was productive. Got a few things done. Hopefully that your weekend across Wisconsin was good as well. Excited to get back at it today with you all. This hour coming up at 1:30. We are going to be talking to Dr. Julie Underwood. She is the founder of the Wisconsin Public Education Network and former dean of the UW-Madison College of Education. She's going to be here to talk about the state of K-12 and higher education in Wisconsin. A great day for it, as this comes at the same time as Wisconsin's Legislative Joint Finance Committee taking up education with a $7 billion surplus of our state tax money. Here's somebody who understands education all the way from kindergarten through post-secondary. Someone who spent her career in education. Knows it inside and out. Knows the UW system. Having overseen the School of Education at UW-Madison, understands what it's like to go through the budget process. So she will be here to tell us firsthand what's going on, giving us her take, and also this new project of hers, the Wisconsin Public Education Network, a great organization, bringing to light the needs for public education across this state. What's the real facts out there? And this is someone who doesn't have a political bent necessarily, has spent her life, when you're a part of a university, particularly in leadership, you can't afford to have a hyper-partisan bent. Because you never know what side's going to control the legislature. You never know what side's going to control the governor's office. So you have to be able to kind of put your personal partisan politics aside and just do what's best for your college, what's best for your school, what's best for the state. So here's somebody who's going to bring the facts today. My question I'm asking you before she comes on the show, coming on at 1:30, by the way, what would you like to know from Dr. Underwood? I mean, I have things I want to ask as well. But I think oftentimes listening to talk radio, you go, why doesn't he ask him this? Geez, I'd really like to know that. So if you would like, if you have a question for me that you would like to submit here in the first part of the program for our interview at 1:30, give us a call, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Make it easy for you, 844-96-PARTY. What would you like me to ask Dr. Julie Underwood, the founder of the Wisconsin, pardon me, the Wisconsin Public Education Network and a dean, former dean, of UW-Madison's College of Education. What education questions do you have? Give us a call, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. She will be here at the bottom of the hour. Also coming up on the program in hour number two, stay with us now, the Milwaukee Brewers are back on top of the NL Central Division. They swept the Pirates over the weekend. Great series at home. And now they're going to take on the Arizona Diamondbacks at home this weekend. And we are giving away four tickets to Wednesday's game. Wednesday, June 21st. Game time set for 1:10 p.m. You can be there on Wednesday afternoon in our beautiful Civic Media seats. They are in the club level. These are not your run-of-the-mill seats. They are in a club level. You have concessions right outside of where you sit. Bathrooms right off the door, the kind of the private entry there where you go into to sit in the club seats. Beautiful view from the third base side over into the Brewers dugout. Can see all the players and coaches. Great view of the scoreboard. Stay tuned. We will give away four tickets to Wednesday afternoon's game against the Arizona Diamondbacks in our second hour. Be with us then. Also, we'll be talking about Juneteenth. Today is Juneteenth. We'll discuss what that means, where it came from, and the irony of it falling the day after the Wisconsin Republican State Convention as it wrapped up in La Crosse yesterday, and what the modern-day version of the party that uses the title of Republican voted to approve over the weekend, what they stand for, and of course, your calls, as always, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Stay with us now. Got to go to a break. Be back. We're coming up on a break. Be back after this on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition, wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigby Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's now 15 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock on a Monday, June 19th, 2023. Evan Preston, our engineer today, along with us. We appreciate him, appreciate you as well. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, great guest, excited to invite her and have her here on the program, Julie Underwood, the founder of the Wisconsin Public Education Network, former dean of the University of Wisconsin-Madison College of Education. She's going to be talking to us about the state of K-12 and higher education in Wisconsin as the legislature's Joint Finance Committee takes up the education budget this week. $7 billion surplus, don't forget, of our tax money in the coffers. But yet Republicans in the legislature want to continue to cut or not adequately fund education in this state. Also, hour number two, Milwaukee Brewer tickets giveaway in hour two. They take on the Arizona Diamondbacks this week at home. We have tickets, four of them, for tomorrow afternoon's game at 1:10. We'll be giving those away. Don't forget, you can listen to Milwaukee Brewers baseball all season long on the Milwaukee Brewers Radio Network. Right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Two stations for you. If you're in the Fox Valley, WISS, Oshkosh Air Support, you can listen to that station on AM 1100, the Big 1100, and also on FM 98.3 in the Fox Valley. Or if you're in the southwest part of the state, my home station, WRCE in Richland Center, southwest Wisconsin, news from the center, AM 1450 and FM 107.7, WRCE in Richland Center. Milwaukee Brewers baseball all season long right here on Civic Media, courtesy of the Milwaukee Brewers Radio Network, and giving away four tickets next hour. I want to bring this up kind of as a lead-in to Dr. Underwood at the bottom of the hour. And of course, we're taking your phone calls. If you want, if you have a question, doesn't matter whether it's public or private education on the K-12 side, or if you've got questions on the higher ed side, taking your calls, what would you like me to ask Dr. Underwood at the bottom of the hour? Let's go to the phones, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. We have Keith in Madison. Keith, welcome to the program across Wisconsin.
Hi, Todd. Good show. I guess I'm kind of crossing over. I was listening to Brian's show.
Sure.
We had someone call in there from the Republican side there, was claiming that the public education is losing students as they go to the private schools. So he didn't have any facts on it, and so I looked it up. I found an article from USA Today that says there's 13,000 public school districts. Now, this is the whole country.
Sure.
30,000 individual private schools.
Mm-hmm.
But it also states in here that according to the most recent data from the National Center for Educational Statistics, public schools still attract far more students than private schools.
Sure.
And so this was his comment that the public schools were losing students to the private schools, but that just isn't the case, at least according to this article from USA Today. So my question for the doctor would be, is that true in Wisconsin? Are we losing more students to the from the public schools to the private schools in this state?
I think it's a fantastic question and a great call, because we'll fact-check this with her, because she'll know the facts on this. I believe in some cases, my from what I know, is that in some cases that is accurate. And part of that is just declining enrollments. People are having, we're getting into that generation of fewer babies, right? So that's part of it, is declining enrollments across everywhere. Also, and this is a really interesting, nuanced thing that a lot of people don't talk about. You know how there is name, image, and likeness now in college sports, and athletes get paid, and some of they're going to schools where they can get the best deal and money. What nobody wants, or few people want to talk about, is that is happening to a degree in Wisconsin high schools, where private high schools under open enrollment are going and recruiting high school athletes to come to their high schools to make better sports teams. And that's, I mean, it's a small fraction of students transferring, but that's also something I find that very interesting and very disturbing, quite frankly. So we'll ask Dr. Underwood at the bottom of the hour about this. Where, you know, are public schools losing students to private schools, and why? Great call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Keith in Madison. Keith, thanks for holding. What say you, sir?
We got Dave and Mequon this time around.
Oh, all right. Very good. Sorry about that. Dave and Mequon, you're up next, sir. What say you across Wisconsin?
Really, well, thanks for taking my call, and I just want to say really quickly, it's totally off the subject for just a second, those seats, I actually won those seats a few weeks ago, and they are spectacular seats. I will say, I was not disappointed, I was very impressed. So,
well, that's awesome, we appreciate
it. Whoever gets that, appreciate it.
Well, appreciate you calling in, Dave, and wait, whatever, you know, 28 days, or we have to go 30 days in between, so wait another 30 days, and right. You're eligible again, but I appreciate you calling in and saying that.
Okay. And so my question would be for your guest that's coming in is this. So I've gone to both private and public schools in my lifetime.
Sure.
I actually went to a private school early in my, you know, in my young years. And then I ventured over to public school, and I went to the University of Minnesota with a degree in urban planning.
Okay.
What I look at it is this way. So the previous caller, depending on what state it is, keep in mind, Wisconsin has been definitely pushing for more school choice. Mm-hmm. And yes, if you look at Milwaukee, the public school system has dramatically shrunk the last, I don't know, 25, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
That being the case, my question to, is it Underwood?
Yep, Underwood. Yep. Underwood? Yep.
Okay. My question would be this. How much more money would be need to be allocated towards public schools? Because it's always seems to be never enough money. Whatever right. it is, referendums, it's just never enough. And consequently, if you've been looking, especially during the pandemic, the proficiency scores have gone down dramatically across the entire state of Wisconsin. Doesn't matter if you're in a rich district or a poor district, mm-hmm. they have all gone down dramatically. Where is there going to be some accountability on that aspect of it? Because if we're going to give this money and we're not getting the results that we should be, I just think that we need to have something tied to that to say, okay, if we're going to do this, I understand people, I am a pro-school choice person
mm-hmm.
because I think at the end of the day, I think parents should be very engaged with their children as far as getting that education, be it private, public, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be engaged. And sometimes if you're not engaged, unfortunately, the child is the one that's the biggest loser in that situation. So that would be my question to Underwood. And then the second question would be, UW-Madison has been really kind of stable to losing students. And part of the reason why, so my best friend has three daughters at UW-Madison right now.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times when they go to class, the professor that they're supposed to get, and this is not just current, this has been going on for years, they're never there. You're always getting a teacher's aide or somebody else that's teaching the class that, they're the ones actually giving them all the information to the students, and you don't have that particular professor, and they're off to who knows where. They're doing some sort of excursion,
Dave,
or something.
I appreciate the calls or the questions. I wrote them down here. I will ask her to get the answer. I would say a couple of things. A, on the performance side in terms of COVID-19, you know, a lot of districts, I think both public and private during COVID-19, I mean, students were at home, they were doing online learning, you know, and kids just for whatever reason weren't able to or fully engaged. And so when you have, and you have these performance already out there, you have the quote unquote failing schools, where if schools don't meet a certain proficiency, they get cut. Well, how can you blame an educator or a school district when your kids aren't even in class, where you're trying to do this over internet? Some households have more than one child. Some families only have one computer, and some families still have dial-up across the state because Republicans refuse to adequately fund broadband in the state. So when you can't see the child, when you can't educate the child, how can you expect performance to be up there? So I mean that's one of them. And on UW-Madison, both my godsons just graduated from UW-Madison within the last 3 years. One is an engineer, and one is a microbiologist. In a world-class university the size of UW-Madison, it is not unusual, particularly in undergrad courses, to have a TA, teaching assistant, come in and teach part of those courses. Now, I mean, I can't speak to your friend's situation at all, but it's certainly not the norm to have the assigned professor there every day. It doesn't matter whether it's UW-Madison or Harvard or Yale or USC or wherever. That's just the way, when it gets to that level of higher education, TAs play a role in a lot of those courses. So, but I appreciate the call, Dave. Thank you so much, Mequon. Appreciate you calling and have a great day. If you'd like to add your two cents, we'd love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. We have our guest coming up here in just a couple of minutes at the bottom of the hour. She is Julie Underwood, Dr. Julie Underwood, the founder of Wisconsin Public Education Network and former dean of the UW-Madison College of Education, talking about all of this, K-12 and higher education, as the Joint Finance Committee under Republican control takes up the education budget. Don't have time to get into it right now, but I'll give you a little tease for next hour. Great story over the weekend in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Lawrence Andrea. Headline, Speaker Robin Voss says he's quote-unquote embarrassed to be a UW System alumnus because of campus diversity programs. Not making this up. He says, quote, this is probably to me the single most important issue that we face as people, as a nation, and as really humanity. Robin Voss said at the state Republican convention. He was talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts at the state's public universities, right? He relabeled the DEI acronym to division, exclusion, and indoctrination. His words, not mine.
Oh, my.
Right. He said, quote, the overt racism, the overt exclusion, the overt indoctrination is so deeply inside the UW system, I am embarrassed to be an alumni. We have to fix that, unquote. Here's the great line later on. Robin Voss, what's poppin'? He owns a popcorn business. That's why I like to say that. It's true. He has a popcorn business. He deals in popcorn. Somebody has to. God love him. Robin Voss said, quote, DEI is the new religion of the left. They don't go to church on Sunday, but they have no problem using taxpayer dollars to evangelize on every college campus across the state. We have to stop, put our foot down, and not allow it to continue, unquote. Little anti-Semitic there. Not sure if Robin Voss knows this, but Jewish people go to temple on Saturdays, not on Sunday. Let's go to the phone calls quickly. A couple minutes left here before the break. How much time we have left here? Let's go to a phone. Ron in Milwaukee. My time is short, my friend.
Hey, got 20 seconds, Ron.
Go ahead, Ron.
20 seconds. Okay. State Democratic Senate analysis of the proposed increases for private voucher schools.
Yeah.
Shows that the real cost is
this summer. 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude.
6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show
on WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Lindsay Watts. Candid and productive. That's how Secretary of State Antony Blinken describes today's 35-minute meeting with China's President Xi.
The U.S. frustrated by China's role in the fentanyl crisis, the war in Ukraine, and cyber espionage, while China accusing the U.S. of trying to, quote, contain its rise, both militarily and economically. And even this Beijing trip was supposed to happen back in February before being postponed after a Chinese spy balloon showed up in U.S. airspace.
ABC's Matt Rivers in Beijing. President Biden is on his way to California, where he's expected to announce more than $500 million in projects to prevent climate change. Millions are on alert for severe weather, including many who are cleaning up after tornadoes tore through Mississippi. At least one person is dead. A search and rescue mission is underway off the coast of Newfoundland for a submersible that went missing. The vessel is used to carry tourists to view the wreck of the Titanic. This is ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know in Northeast Wisconsin.
A construction worker who was critically injured last week at Lambeau Field has died. According to a spokesman for Mavid Construction, the man's employer, the man passed away on Saturday after being injured last Thursday. The Green Bay Packers also issued a statement extending their condolences to the man's family and friends. The employee's name is currently being withheld. A fire broke out at a Fond du Lac farm Sunday that was set to host a Breakfast on the Farm event next weekend. According to the Fond du Lac County Sheriff's Office, authorities were alerted of the fire shortly before 10 a.m. The building was completely lost, but no injuries were reported. Luckily, 100 cows were removed from the burning barn in time. According to Green Bay's WFRV-TV, the June Dairy Month event will go on as planned. They are currently looking for a new location. Authorities believe the fire was caused by an electrical issue. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Walks has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks, 855-954-1186.
Calling to win, Gingras Thompson & Walks, GTWLawyers.com.
Summer has finally arrived in Wisconsin, and it's time to make your brand shine. Become a weather sponsor in the month of June and take advantage of a very special offer. Buy one weather sponsorship for just $75 and get a second sponsorship free. Yup, BOGO.
That's 20 ads per day for 2 days every hour.
This weather sponsorship buy one, get one offer absolutely ends on June 30th. Call now, 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. It's BOGO.
608-949-8989.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show.
3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct.
4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Welcome back to the Todd Alba Show on the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. If you haven't got the app yet, now is a good time to do it. Go to your app store. As we got word over the weekend, now not just on Apple products, but also on Android products as well. A brand new edition of the Civic Media app. Just go to the app store, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C. For Civic Media comes up, takes about a minute to download it. It's free, and you can listen to all the great programming across Civic Media anytime you have Wi-Fi or cell phone service. A great time to download that. We are also thrilled this afternoon to have our next guest. She is Dr. Julie Underwood, the founder of Wisconsin Public Education Network and former dean of the University of Wisconsin-Madison College of Education. She's going to be here talking about education all the way from K-12 all the way up through post-secondary education and authority across the state. Julie, thank you so very much for being with us today. We really appreciate you taking the time on a very timely subject across the state.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me on. And just one thing, you know, it takes a village to do anything. And there were a lot of people who founded the Public Education Network.
Well, that's a great point, but you are certainly one of the principals, and we appreciate all your work. For those who might not be, because we are a statewide show, for those that might not have heard of you before or be aware of your background, give folks a little sense, kind of where did you grow up and how did you get into education?
Oh, well, that's the family story, because both of my parents are public school educators and administrators. And because of that, we moved around quite a bit, about every 3 or 4 years. As we went, my father was a superintendent. We went from district to district, particularly as they were setting up special ed programs before they were federally mandated. So I've lived in lots of places.
And then,
but the place I've lived the longest mm-hmm. is Madison, Wisconsin.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you were dean of the College of Education at UW Madison from 05 to 15. And about 9 years ago, you helped found Wisconsin Public Education Network. During your time, because my maternal grandmother, Marge Wallace, was the first woman in the state to be a dean of a UW college, UW-Richland, back in the late 60s and early 70s. So she would be thrilled to have me. She is unfortunately now passed, but she was a huge proponent of particularly women in education in this state. How did you come to the deanship at UW-Madison, and what were some of the biggest changes that you saw in the programming, the college, the trajectory of higher ed during your time at UW-Madison?
Well, I actually started at UW-Madison in 1986, mm-hmm. I think in 1986 as a faculty member coming from the University of North Dakota, and I was there as a faculty member in the School of Education and in the law school. And then I left in 95, mainly to go to D.C., mainly those 10 years that I was gone. I was in D.C. as a general counsel for the National School Boards Association. And when I had the chance to come back to be dean of the School of Education and be in Wisconsin, I chose to come home to Madison and came back in 05. And the changes I saw in those 10 years, it's an incredible school of education. It's always been, for years and years, it's been one of the top schools of education in the United States, usually the number one public school of education in the United States. And it has a real commitment to the Wisconsin idea, which is, kind of what has drawn me and always has had my heart.
That's one of the things that I find so fascinating. I don't mean to go, and if you're uncomfortable going, I don't mean to go deep into politics, but I think that the Wisconsin idea, that the idea that the borders of our university are the borders of our state, the continual sifting and winnowing of ideas leads to the truth.
Yeah.
Those have been literally emblazoned on brass plaques at Bascom. And those have been fairly universal ideas that have held throughout both Democratic and Republican administrations, the governor's office and the legislature. And it seems like between 05 and 15, those very ideals, those foundational ideals, have now seemed to be up for grabs.
Absolutely. Academic freedom, diversity, the notion that we should all be out helping everyone. Those certainly have come into play. And do you know, think about this, both for K-12 and in higher education, it used to be that education was a nonpartisan issue. And nowadays it's highly partisan, and it's not the fault of K-12 or higher education, but it's certainly our problem. It's done great damage to the state.
So in 05, I was working for, I'm a former Republican, emphasis on former. I left the party in 2011. But in 05.
Recovering.
I thought about calling this show the Redemption Tour. But, in 05, I was working for Dale Schultz, who was then the majority leader in the state Senate. And even as a Republican at that time, there was still cooperation with Democrats. And at the time, Governor Jim Doyle, a Democrat. That we were still going to find the best. We might disagree on some of the minutia, but it was still, we have to fund the university at the best levels to get the best programs done. We have an obligation to K-12 education. And it doesn't matter whether it was Tommy Thompson or Jim Doyle, the governor's office, that always seemed to be generally we could go in the right trajectory. It seems like under the Walker administration and now with the Republican legislature, again, we hear it from the political side. My question to you is, Julie, is from the academic side. Are these things discussed within the academia of, like, what the heck are these people doing? Is it just as baffling on your side as it is on ours?
Oh, absolutely. You know, when you're out in the rest of the United States and sometimes in the rest of the world, people say, what happened to Wisconsin? Hmm. Wisconsin used to be a really, you know, a state that supported all sorts of liberties and supported its K-12 and higher education. Hmm. And you've been a leader. And what has happened to Wisconsin? And, you know, there are places that will even say, well, at least we're not as bad as Wisconsin.
And that just breaks my heart. I mean, I went to UW-Richland, UW-Platteville, you know, as someone who is was proud of his time at a UW institution. And again, I don't want to go too far down the political road, but we just got done, you know, Robin Voss saying he's now embarrassed to be an alum of UW system from Whitewater because of the diversity, equity and inclusion initiatives that he's tried to unfund. What does that say? As someone who's in touch nationally, what does that say again about Wisconsin to have this even being an issue here?
Well, what it says to me is that these legislators have turned their back on public education and turned their back on the public, mm-hmm. at the public mm-hmm. at large. You know, think about this. Our great-grandparents invested over the average over years and years to create a great system of higher education in Wisconsin and a good system of K-12 education in Wisconsin. And now they have divested us of that and turned their values around, turning their back on our heritage and turning their back on the history of investment that we've had in the state of Wisconsin. We've generally thought about our future and thought about our children. I mean, we were one of the first states to start kindergarten.
Right, right.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, just those kind of things. And thinking about building our future with education and with investing in children, that's kind of where Wisconsin was. And that is not the party line anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to be nonpartisan when you see a party that has actually turned its back on its future, the future of the state. And look, remember, you were here in the Walker administration mm-hmm. when public school teachers were vilified.
Yeah. My dad, my mom, my brother-in-law, my sister, all public educators.
Yeah, vilified, absolutely yeah. vilified. And, you know, that was the real steep, slippery slope
yeah.
Where we consistently defunded education since then with a majority in the legislature. But we have to talk politics. You can't not talk politics when you talk about schools these days.
And that's,
these are political decisions. These are right. public institutions. And so they're political decisions. They're public policy, at least. Mm. They can be nonpartisan, but it is public policy.
And that's why I say on this show all the time. I mean, we're just trying to get to the truth. I'm a former Republican, but I'm not a member of any party right now. I'm not a member of the Democratic Party. I just want to get to the truth. And I think most of our listeners across Wisconsin say, let's just get something done. Let's talk about one of the organizations that is trying to get something done. As you said, you were one of the co-founders, but one of the key founders of the Wisconsin Public Education Network. If you would, by the way, we're talking to Dr. Julie Underwood. She is a former dean of the UW-Madison College of Education and one of the founders of the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Julie, for those who might not have heard it, give us a little bit about the background of what this education network is and how it got started.
Well, the public education network is a network of pro public school organizations across the state of Wisconsin. And the goal is to help every community support their public schools, and then to pull those people together so that they can network together, they can learn from each other, and you can keep this grassroots organization going. And the key to it was trying to get, or the key reason for it, was trying to get the legislators to listen to their constituents. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, generally across the state of Wisconsin, people say, you know, my public school's great, but the legislators will often say to their constituents, well, yeah, I'm for public schools. And then they turn around in a vote and vote against the against the best interest of the public schools. So we needed to turn that around. And the best way to turn that around in a representative democracy is at the grassroots level. So that was the goal, is to get these organizations to continually support public schools across the state and to help them.
You make such a great point, because I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but I believe it was 81 different local public school referendums on the ballot last November, and I think all but like 16 of those passed in terms of locals voting for more money to tax themselves for the public school, but then turn around and vote an overwhelming number of Republicans into the legislature. Sometimes they're the same person on the same ballot, they're voting for more public school education, but then voting for a legislator who's anti-public school education.
Absolutely. And it's mind-boggling, isn't it?
Yeah.
That people will be able to say, oh, yes, you know, I support public schools. And then they turn around and vote to cut funding and to increase funding for private schools through vouchers. Mm. Now, Tommy Thompson's the one who started that. Mm. And it's kind of funny that you think about vouchers today being Juneteenth, because right. of the historic segregative nature of vouchers when they very first started in the United States.
And you know, that I was around, you know, I was around during that time when the vouchers first started. And I think that the idea at the time was, hey, that everybody should have the opportunity to send their kid wherever they want to go, essentially. But that's just taken to an extreme. I want to ask you about a question that came in over the first half hour. Someone said, we hear all the time in the media that public schools are losing students to private schools, that enrollment's going down. Is that true or is that false?
Absolutely false. Mm-hmm. At least in the voucher programs, many of those students, and in the statewide voucher programs, more than half the students who are in those statewide voucher programs never were in the public schools. Mm-hmm. I mean, because there's a way to get in there without ever having been enrolled in the public schools. So it's not as if students were switching from the public to the private. The only thing that switched was who paid their tuition, whether their parents paid their tuition or whether the state pays their tuition. That's the only difference in that situation.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but there are some districts where enrollment's going down, but it's for everyone because we're just kind of going through a generational cycle where there are some places that are going down enrollment everywhere because people weren't having as many babies. True or false?
Yeah, sure. Demographically, you know, right. we're going down in terms of children of school age. And in addition, there's a demographic shift in the state of Wisconsin where the population is kind of draining out of the north and headed to the south part of the state. So you see that in population changes in school districts too.
We are talking to Julie Underwood. She is one of the founders of the Wisconsin Public Education Network and former dean of the University of Wisconsin-Madison College of Education. We're going to learn more about the Wisconsin Public Education Network, how you can get involved, and what that means for public education across the Badger State. Stay with us now. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps. Truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924. The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigby Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
And oh, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out.
And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
That's 2 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock, and hour number two, we're giving away tickets, 4 tickets to the Milwaukee Brewers game coming up this Wednesday at 1:10 in the afternoon versus the Arizona Diamondbacks. We'll do that. Also talk about Juneteenth and the irony that it happened one day after the Republican convention up in La Crosse wrapped up. We'll talk about that as well. Right now we are talking with our guest this half hour. It is Dr. Julie Underwood. She is one of the founders of the Wisconsin Public Education Network and former dean of the University of Wisconsin-Madison College of Education. We appreciate you being here, Julie. I want to get to this. I think, in my opinion, you tell me if I'm wrong, I think there's a lot of misnomer out there because they're calling it a deal, a pragmatic deal between Democratic Governor Tony Evers and the Republicans in the legislature on shared revenue and education funding. And it's being, well, there's an unprecedented amount of money going into public education. Here's my take, that if you look at the actual dollars that are going per pupil into private voucher schools, and then looking at the actual dollars per pupil going into public education schools, it doesn't match up. And we're basically kind of just getting back to the status quo with public education, still leaving a huge gap in what's needed compared to private.
Oh, no, it's worse than that. There's a huge gap between what public schools need and what they have now. I mean, the Wisconsin legislature has been defunding public education over, the last 15 years. And we haven't been keeping up with inflation at all. You know, if we had kept up with inflation, we would be spending about $3,000 more per student than we are right now in public schools.
$3,000.
And we certainly wouldn't have fallen from, being up in the middle top all the way down to the middle bottom or middle. I'll say middle. I'll give us that.
Right.
So it's not going to catch us up to where we would be. This is not even keeping up with inflation. And the other thing is that this deal that was part of the shared revenue deal, but it's written in a separate bill. It's written in a separate bill because of the weird quirks of legislative budgeting and vetoing in the state of Wisconsin, would give schools an increase in spending limit up to $11,000. So it's a $1,000 increase in spending limit. Mm-hmm. Now, about half of our school districts already spend more than that. So it helps the bottom part move up, certainly. But it also gives the voucher schools about a $3,000 per voucher increase.
Right.
So you're comparing apples and oranges, because that $1,000 increase doesn't apply to all the school districts. And because for the school districts where it even does apply, that's not all state money. That's going to be some of the local money too, because it's a shared revenue. It's a shared revenue kind of thing.
Talk about, if you would,
it's not going to get them. There's no gap closing here whatsoever. This is all gap widening.
Well, I think you make it a great point, because certainly that's not the way it's being billed by either side, quite frankly. I want to make sure.
And let me just, they say $1 billion, right?
Yeah.
That $1 billion is not going to public schools.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of it's going to private schools.
It's being divvied up. Let's talk about the built-in increase for the voucher school spending.
So $3,000 per student, built-in increase. It's the largest increase that the voucher program has seen. And we've seen a lot of increases in the voucher program since Tommy Thompson started them. Now we have four entirely different programs across the state of Wisconsin that now serve the entire state, not just a little experimental program in Milwaukee. And it costs about $450 million a year. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that comes out of the education budget. So that's when they say $1 billion for education. Well, you know, scoop out a bunch of that for the voucher programs. So this is going to be an incentive for more voucher schools to take more voucher students. And we have removed a lot of the caps, like the income regulations you were talking about at the beginning of the Milwaukee program, where it was for low-income students. Most of those income caps have gone off. Most of those kind of regulations have gone away. And in 2025, all of the enrollment caps will come off.
Julie, about 3 minutes left. I want to make sure we get this in. For legal reasons, different entities in the state kind of have offshoots. One of yours is called, it's an arm called the Public Education Defense Fund. Give us kind of the 90 seconds or 2 minutes on that. And I want to give people a way that they can get involved with the network.
Sure. So we have both, you know, our public education network and our Public Education Defense Fund. And as I said, the purpose of the network is to get all of these groups to work together. Mm. And the purpose of the defense fund is because public schools need defending in the state of Wisconsin.
I mean, how wacky is that? But that's the reality, yeah. Right?
Well, I mean, and it gets into the point of that we haven't even got into. We're going to have to do this again.
Oh, I'd love to have you back.
We haven't even gotten into the freedom of speech things that have happened, right. and the censorship in curriculum. Mm-hmm. Somebody needs to defend public schools in that way, because a lot of school districts have been scared stiff, so that when somebody comes to them and makes a complaint about books or curriculum, they've started chipping away at it, right?
Yeah.
Or the school district it's Sun Prairie that's being sued because of their treatment of LGBTQ students.
Yeah. I never thought in my lifetime I'd see our schools are our communities where I'm from, out in Southwest Wisconsin. I never thought I'd see the day we'd have a public defense fund for them, but here we are. If people want to get involved, Julie, how can they do so and either donate to this cause, this defense fund, or just in general with a public education network?
Well, they can come to our website for sure. Or our Facebook page, the wisconsinnetwork.org is our website. And you can come to the Public Education Defense Fund as well. We'd love for people to sign up through the wisconsinnetwork.org to receive our materials and to join one of their local groups.
Wisconsinnetwork.org. Again, Wisconsin, is it spelled out or just WI?
Spelled out.
All right. So spelled
just
out.
Just to make it easier to
cool.
Type.
WisconsinNetwork.org, O-R-G. You can sign up there. We appreciate Julie Underwood. Thank you so very much. I really appreciate you being here. We got about 45 seconds left. I'll give you the last word.
It is a sad day to see the situation in terms of education in Wisconsin. And I know that that's not the will of the people. I know it's not the will of the people to have private school vouchers and our public money going into private schools. It's also not the will of the state, the constitution of the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. You know, the legislature has a constitutional obligation in the state to provide for an adequate education for children through a uniform system of public education.
WisconsinNetwork.org. That's where you can get involved. Julie Underwood, co-founder of the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Thanks for being with us. We really appreciate it. We'd love to have you back anytime. Stay with us now.
Glad to be here.
Absolutely. Hour number two is next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the
ABC
Civic Media
News,
app.
I'm Lindsay.